Welcome to The Spiritual Rabbit Hole, a podcast with spiritual mediums Kristen, Nicole, and Glenda.
Join us as we tap into the spiritual realm, explore the mysteries of the universe, and guide you on a journey of self-discovery.
Get ready to open your mind and connect with something greater than yourself. Let's dive into The Spiritual Rabbit Hole.
Hello, everyone.
What's
Welcome. Up? Welcome back. And we hope you listened to our last episode where we talked about Reiki healing. And we talked a little bit about the history of Reiki, how we perform Reiki, and a lot of things in between.
Yeah, Our different experiences with getting trained in Reiki and becoming Reiki practitioners ourselves. Yeah.
Today's episode, we'll be talking about crystal healing and understanding crystals. The shapes are crystals and their significant colors and whatnot.
So first, we're going to start talking about the molecular structure of crystals. So crystals' molecular makeup and arrangement depend on the atoms and the molecules that they contain. So they form under pressure alone or with heat. And their lattice structure is a repeating pattern of points and shapes their overall symmetry. This structure gives crystals a powerful, stable, energetic frequency, and it allows them to manipulate energy by influencing the vibration and the direction, storing, focusing, and resonating, and even amplifying energy.
According to the Crystal Encyclopedia by Judy Hall, crystals can be identified by their mineral makeup and geometric patterns. Crystals are formed by a certain number of minerals that bond together. Their colors are based on different variations of those minerals.
Okay, so did you guys know that there's various types of crystals and their shapes? So crystals take different geometric formation when they bond together. They can be hexagonal, cubic, trigonal, tetragonal, orthorhombic, triclinic, monoclinic, and amorphous. Morphin time! These are hard names to say. Anyways, we're going to explain what each of them looks like.
Yes. So we'll start with hexagonal. And hexagonal, a good example is quartz crystals. Mm-hmm. That includes clear quartz, amethyst, rose quartz. So these quartz crystals are known for their hexagonal lattice of silicon dioxide. And quartz possesses a great capacity to amplify energy and promote mental clarity. And this makes it the perfect crystal for meditation and anything that has to do with spiritual practices.
And quartz is the most abundant crystal in the world, I believe. It's the most common one. The next one we're going to talk about is cubic. And an example of a cubic crystal is pyrite. Are fool's gold. And having a cubic crystal structure, pyrite, also known as fool's gold, has the ability to ground and fortify. Its iron sulfide composition shields against negative influences while instilling vitality and self-assurance. I've also heard that if you put a pyrite, I don't know if this has to do with like feng shui or not, but in the left most corner of like the back of your house,
mm-hmm.
it's
money
supposed
corner?
To help with money. Yeah, the money
yeah.
corner. You put that there.
Oh. Or office.
Yep, I have a few in my office.
Yep. And the next one will be trigonal, like calcite. It is trigonal lattice arrangement of calcium carbonate molecules. Calcite radiates a therapeutic energy that encourages mental awareness, emotional balance, and relaxation. It aids in stress relief and promotes emotional resilience.
Yes.
I like green calcite the best.
Green calcite?
I like blue calcite. I have a lot of blue calcite. I also really like honey calcite.
Well, that is a pretty one too.
Another geometric formation type is the tetragonal, and a good example of that is the rutile or rutile. I don't know how to pronounce that, R-U-T-I-L-E. And it's made up mostly of titanium dioxide mm-hmm. with a tetragonal crystal structure. And rutile's distinctive needle-like crystals are often found within other minerals like quartz or garnet. Rutile is known for its connections with clarity, insight, and protective energies, making it a very sought-after crystal in healing and spiritual practices. That is one I do not have.
Me neither. So another crystal structure is orthorhombic. Orthorhombic. I'm going to say that one twice. It's hard to say. An example of that is topaz. Illuminating with an orthorhombic crystal lattice, topaz has a harmonious combination of mental sharpness, creative expression, and the attraction of abundance. I do not have any topaz.
You know, I don't think I do either. I'm creating a list now with this.
I don't think topaz is cheap if I'm...
No, I don't think it is. Not real.
I think it's a lot. That might be why we don't have it. I don't know, but it's probably why I don't have it. Let's just say that. But yeah, I don't think it's one of those cheaper ones.
So another shaped like crystal would be triclinic. An example would be kyanite, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's characterized by its triclinic structure. Kyanite embodies synergy and alignment. Its aluminum silicate composition balances chakras, helps with communication, and brings emotional stability, encouraging inner tranquility and spiritual growth.
Yeah, I'm telling you, I'm making a list.
So yeah, I don't have kyanite either.
I'm checking it twice.
Check that list.
Yeah.
But apparently kyanite is one of their, I think there's a couple crystals that you don't ever have to clear. And I'm pretty sure that kyanite is one of them.
What do you mean by clearing?
So like there's certain
like
crystals that kind of self-cleanse. I think kyanite is one of them. Kyanite and citrine is what I read. I always thought selenite was one of them.
So you don't have to clear them ever.
I guess
after you program them.
Not for kyanite and citrine.
Shoot, I still do it with mine.
I would still do it.
Yeah.
I guess this is what people claim. So you can always
have to do stuff that everybody else does. You can find your own way. We're always seeing it.
Yeah.
So another formation is monoclinic, and a perfect example is selenite, like what you just mentioned. And I know all three of us have selenite. Selenite is like one of the first crystals everybody goes and gets. Yep. And if you don't have a selenite wand or selenite plate, definitely think about purchasing one of those. They're well known by their monoclinic crystal structure, and selenite embodies purity, clarity, and spiritual connectivity. Its hydrous calcium sulfate composition purifies energy, enhances mental clarity, and safeguards against negativity, which leads to the spiritual advancements and insight. So it's like an awesome crystal to have when you're on your spiritual journey.
Mm-hmm. I always use I have a huge one that I always use before readings, that I like to clear my aura and my chakras with it. I think we talked about this before, but I like to kind of wave it around my head.
Yeah. I have a selenite wand that I do that with. I have a selenite sphere. I have selenite towers. I gave my son a selenite tower when he went to school to keep on his desk. So yeah, huge fan. Huge.
Yeah. I like selenite. And that's one that's supposed to clear a lot of other crystals, right? Because you have the selenite plate, you can put the other ones on it. So.
Right, because of its purifying properties.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So another geometric pattern that they can have is amorphous. An example of that would be obsidian. And obsidian is a product of volcanic lava cooling rapidly. And obsidian defies crystalline structure existing in an amorphous state, which is it doesn't have a structure like the other ones. Yeah. This unique composition helps with the release of emotional blockages, promoting grounding and protection, and activates spiritual evolution and growth. So, Nicole, I know you love yourself some obsidian.
I'm wearing it right now. My necklace, my black obsidian necklace.
Gee, you have some too, right?
Yeah, my bracelet.
Yeah, you always wear yours.
I love.
Obsidian. That's one I don't have. Do you know why? And I don't even think that this is necessarily true, but when I first started, you know, my spiritual journey and I looked up things on crystals and everything, I read that people said, be careful with obsidian if you're like not really ready for a lot of energy and to deal with your stuff. So I was always like afraid of it. And then now I think that's silly. You know,
that's just an opinion of some people.
I know. I mean, I don't, as I said, I don't think I really believe that now, but that's why I never got it at the time. I was afraid of it. So I should get some obsidian now.
It's probably because it connects. That's a good stone for your root chakra.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And maybe for some people, when they work with black obsidian, it like activates the root chakra and forces them to reflect on things related to their roots, related to their childhood, their families, and stuff like that. So that might be
maybe things they're not ready to to face. So that's why maybe that's what the warning was. I should get some.
See, which is funny because the root chakra is the first one you want to work on.
You should work on. Yeah.
For your foundation. But you know what? I didn't hear about obsidian, but I did hear about moldavite.
Oh, yeah. I've heard about that too. Like trippy stuff.
Have you guys ever touched moldavite?
I have one, actually.
Okay. And how do you feel with it?
Well, it was very grounding and there were a lot of things happened in my life that contribute sometimes. I thought it contributed. So at one point, it kind of fell off. So I'm like, okay, I think it's time for you. I'm not going to.
Like a necklace? It was on a necklace?
Yeah, it was a necklace. Yeah.
You're done with it.
Yeah. So it's just in my jewelry box.
So it's interesting that you found it grounding because it's supposed to be very connected to the cosmic energy.
Oh, really?
Because it's from.
It's from a meteorite.
A meteorite, right? That's what I was going to say.
So. Yeah. But if you find it grounding, this is what I've read, and I think I've shared it with you guys before, that people who have a hard time grounding here on Earth and using the grounding, natural grounding methods that normal people use, it might be they need to be more grounded with the cosmos and not with the actual Earth.
Oh, I remember you sending that. Yeah.
So I wonder if, because we've talked about you. Like I always, like I saw you when I did that first reading, like you were a fallen angel.
Yeah.
And like you came from above and chose to fall to earth is how I was shown.
Yeah.
So that would make sense if moldavite feels grounding to you.
It does.
And you're not originally from here.
Here.
Or at least a portion of you. Of, you know, we're not, this is not an episode about starseeds. So let's go back.
But that is very interesting. I have never touched moldavite, but that is one I also heard a warning for. You have to really
They say the energy is supposed to be very intense. I'm not attracted to it at all. That's how I'm like, if I feel like I'm pulled to that or when I see it, I'm like, oh, I got to have it. You know, then I want it. Like the appetite crystal I recently got.
Yeah.
I've been looking at that and like seeing it everywhere for a long time. But every time I saw one, I was like, that's not my crystal. That's not my crystal. And I don't like to go into crystal. Like, everybody's like, oh, you have to touch all the crystals. I'm not about touching. You know, me, I'm protective.
Oh, yeah.
About my energy. So I'll have my hand, like, above and try to feel which one. Like, you know, they have bowls of the palm stones because palm stones are my favorite. And I feel like which one feels magnetic or hot or tingly to me.
You feel the energy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then if I pick it up and it doesn't feel right, then I put it down. But usually it's like I only have to pick up two crystals and I know, oh, that's mine.
I feel like I have no self-control. I touch everything at this point. Ooh, like a kid.
But, you know, each crystal has its own unique molecular structure, which contributes to its properties and healing potential.
Absolutely.
Yes.
So, yeah. So now that we've talked about the molecular structure of crystals and all the different ways that they can, you know, form in different types, let's talk about the geological origins of crystals. So crystals can be igneous, metamorphic, or sedimentary. Igneous crystals are created when molten rock cools and crystallizes, usually as it moves to the surface of the earth. Quartz is a great example of an igneous crystal. Then there are sedimentary crystals, which consist of layers of many tiny rocks that are under pressure for a very long period of time. And a very good example of a sedimentary crystal is calcite. A lot of the time you can see the layers of the different minerals in these types of rocks. Metamorphic crystals are rocks that have undergone high heat and extreme pressures, causing the original form of the rock to go through crystal and structural changes and then crystallize again. And a great example of a metamorphic crystal is garnet.
So everything that Nicole just said are ways that crystals form naturally. And there are also man-made crystals. And man-made crystals are produced in controlled environments using techniques like hydrothermal synthesis, flux growth, and the Shkrolski process. I'm sure I did not pronounce that right. Creating highly uniform and defect-free crystals fast and cost-effectively. While synthetic crystals are invaluable in industries such as electronics and optics due to their purity and consistency, natural crystals are more prized in gemology and culture for their uniqueness and natural characteristics. And I think that also goes for having that energy that comes from the earth, that's what I would feel more drawn to. But there are some very high vibrational crystals that are man-made, are altered natural crystals too, right? Like angel aura quartz, isn't that like an altered natural crystal? They like heat it again and make it have the rainbow colors in it?
Yeah, I think there's different crystals that if they are treated, like there's some crystals that people just paint.
Yeah, like that's not,
that's not a good one. I honestly, my belief is if it's naturally created, it's more powerful because then you're taking on the fact that it was a part of Earth.
Right.
And it has the energy of Earth. And if it's been a part of Earth for a long time, that says a lot more than something that's created in a lab. Not saying that lab man-made crystals are not any good. And just to go back, the Shkrolski process of creating crystals is where they take like almost like a small piece of a crystal and grow it from that crystal. It's like a seed.
Like, you know, when you
seed.
Get those little, like this is not the same thing, but when you get those little crystal growing kits with your kids.
Yeah.
Not quite the same, but maybe similar. Might be.
Since crystals are capable of storing, focusing, resonating, and amplifying energy, you can find them in all kinds of technology like computer chips, satellites, LCD screens, ultrasounds, lasers, watches, cameras, lens, inkjet printers, lighters, and much more. The most common crystal that is used in technology is quartz. This is due to its combination of silicon dioxide quantities and strong molecular structure, giving it piezoelectric abilities. The piezoelectric abilities of quartz allows it to applies physical energy into electric charge. It can also do the opposite by transmuting electric energy into the physical vibration. Another reason quartz is favored in the tech world is because it can engineer, making it an easy resources to obtain.
Yeah, so the quartz is like a very sought after crystal that's used in all kinds of technology, like what G listed, but it's also a very easy crystal to man-make. Yeah, so they can replenish their supply all the time. Like they found ways to grow crystals really quickly for the needs that they have.
Well, that would make sense too if natural quartz is, you know, very abundant because it probably grows fast.
Yeah, what was quartz again? It was the
igneous.
Igneous, right? So I mean if you have like, you know, you take rock and heat it up and then cool it, but you don't want to cool it too fast because then you end up with obsidian, right?
Yeah,
super fast. That's right. It said super fast. Or if it's like middle fast,
medium high.
Then it's
medium high.
They're small crystals. So if it does have a little longer to grow, they'll be a lot bigger. But they don't need big ones for technology. They need tiny little ones.
Yeah.
That's what they want.
And it's usually like slivers. Like you'll see like, you know, slices of it. So in addition to how crystals are formed in nature or in labs and their crystalline structure. Another factor that's taken into consideration is the color of the crystal. And this is often one of the most important things that influence the energy and the healing properties of a crystal in a lot of different beliefs.
Yeah. So first, there's the colors associated with the chakras. So in many traditions, especially those rooted in Eastern spiritual practices, the colors of crystals are thought to correspond to the chakras, or also called your energy centers, within the body. Each chakra is associated with a particular color, and using crystals of corresponding colors is believed to help balance and enhance the energy flow through these centers. So for example, red crystals like garnet or red jasper are often used to stimulate your root chakra. Blue stones like lapis lazuli or aquamarine are believed to open and heal the throat chakra. So for me, jasper keeps coming up all the time. Every time I go to this crystal shop, she has this deck of crystal cards that you can shuffle, and you always ask what you need. Mm-hmm. And every time I shuffle, it's jasper. I went in and out getting on my birthday. I was like, it better not be jasper. I shuffled. Boom. The card was jasper again. And I need work on my root chakra. So, I mean,
is it red jasper specifically?
That card just says actually just jasper, but I know my root chakra really needs it. I bought this really neat jasper last time. I can't remember what it's called, but it almost looks like a piece of wood. It's not. Mm-hmm. I've never seen it before, but honestly, it's really not that pretty. But I was really drawn to it, so I knew I needed it, because usually I would think, well, I like a really pretty crystal, but I knew, I was like, no, it's got to be this one. But I always, always get jasper. What about you guys? So are there any particular ones?
Actually, I like to use black crystals for my root chakra, but mm-hmm. and you can also do brown. So there's mm-hmm. – and the color, I struggle because with the crystal healing course that I took, to activate a chakra, you do mm-hmm. the color of the chakra to activate that chakra. But sometimes mm-hmm. people have overactive right. chakras.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to be careful.
Yeah.
So if your chakra is overactive and has too much energy going into it mm-hmm. or, you know, being created within it or whatever it is, you want to do the opposite color of that chakra.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if you look at a color wheel, right? And I just happen to have a color wheel right here. On the color wheel, opposite of red, not that anybody else can see, but opposite of red is green. So if your root chakra is overactive, you don't want to use a red stone.
Right.
You'd use a green stone to mm-hmm. help create balance. If you're talking about your throat, you know, yeah. if your throat is overactive, you don't want to add more energy. You want to help find balance by doing orange, because that's the opposite color on the color wheel.
You know, that makes me think of, though, too, is I've noticed in some Reiki sessions, certain chakras are overactive because the one next to them mm-hmm. or like below it is very underactive.
Oh, like it's trying to compensate.
I've had that in a few people. So I wonder if that's kind of almost the opposite color, or might be close to the opposite color. But I've noticed, though, like I feel like somebody's solar plexus super huge, but like their sacral was like really small, or like it was like another one felt so small compared to how big and overactive the other one was.
Well, sometimes that's because the energy flow is backed up.
Mm-hmm. So would that make it overactive then? Because it's like very right. lit up.
So if you have energy coming in through your crown chakra and it can't go past your solar plexus
mm-hmm.
and all your chakras between your crown and your sacral mm-hmm. are like fired up, it could be that you have a backup of energy and the flow is not going proper.
Yeah.
Or a true opposite direction.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're having a lot of grounding energy come in, but it's getting stopped and there's a lot of energy happening in the root and the sacral mm-hmm. and it has nowhere to go, it can get backed up.
Mm-hmm.
So like, cause like the whole point of Reiki, right, is to help your energy flow. And the whole point yeah. of working with your chakras is to get it to flow. So that's what I think of when I see a overactive chakra yeah. is that you get too much energy going into that space. And if there's a chakra near it that's underactive mm-hmm. or lacking, it's because the flow of energy is not making it to that other chakra.
Yeah, I think it would depend on how you would see it too. Like if you had another one that was lit up underneath, but the one in the middle was small.
Right. And every situation is different.
Yeah.
So you'd really have to just like rely on what the information was that you were getting in the session.
Color psychology also plays a role. It suggests that different colors can trigger varying psychological responses. For instance, blue is often associated with calm and clarity, red with energy and passion, and green with harmony and growth. Crystals of these colors are therefore used in healing to encourage these specific emotional psychological states.
Yeah. I remember studying color psychology in high school. Mm-hmm. And I did a science project where I had – this was probably where my original love for Post-its came. I had Post-its and I had the different lists that similar, you know, like list of just words. Mm-hmm. And I had different lists on each color, right? And then – but all the words were very similar and about the same length. Mm. And it was to test the theory that color affects your memory. I got an A. Blue actually helps your memory best.
Oh, really?
Actually, this wasn't high school. This was elementary school. I was elementary school. I was in fifth grade because it was back in North Carolina, I think. Yeah. So, yeah. Cool. I'll never forget. Blue Post-its. And guess what's on the top of my Post-it stack?
Blue.
Blue. So, yeah, I think there's a lot of scientific proof behind color psychology. Like if you are around the color orange, mm-hmm. you are going to get hungry.
Yes, I've heard that too. They said don't put it in your kitchen if you don't want to overeat or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Guess what? Think about that. When you go to a fast food place, Burger King has a lot of orangey colors. Mm-hmm. Orange, I think Zaxby's is like a chicken place that has orange. Hardee's, you know, it's either orange or a combination Popeyes. Of red and yellows.
Yeah, I was going to say a lot McDonald's of
red. McDonald's red and yellow because red and yellow makes orange.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, there's a Sneaky. Lot that goes. Yeah, yeah. Right? Yeah. So, I mean, I could totally see because, I mean, and we'll discuss this later. It's the belief behind what your practice is. So if you really have this belief, subconscious or not, that a certain color represents a certain thing, that's going to play a big role in how you use crystals. So then there are actually traditional associations when it comes to the colors of crystals. Historical and cultural contexts play significant roles in how the colors of crystals are interpreted. So certain colors might have specific symbolic meanings in different cultures, we could actually influence their use in healing practices. So for example, right, white crystals such as clear quartz and moonstone are often associated with purity and spiritual clarity and are used in practices aiming to clear mental clutter and connect with higher spiritual states. And that whole concept of white representing purity, that's the same with selenite, right? Mm-hmm. You know, selenite's very, very white. And I very much connect it with purifying energy, you know, so that would make sense.
Yeah. I mean, we literally use it to purify the other crystals, right?
Mm-hmm.
And of course, there's also the relation to energy, frequency, and vibration with crystals. Some practitioners believe that colors reflect the crystal's vibration and energy frequency. Since color is a manifestation of light, and light is composed of frequencies, each color is believed to carry its unique frequency that resonates with specific physical or emotional aspects of us. Many believe that this resonance is what allows the crystal to have a healing effect.
What are your thoughts on the color of the crystal actually affecting the frequency of the crystal?
Well, I mean, that makes sense because if you think of the visible light spectrum is right. All different wave lengths or frequencies, and it's all made of vibration. So one color is going to have a different one than the next one.
Yeah.
Or you know, it's funny. Vibration. Yeah.
I speaking of color and things, I read somewhere or saw somewhere, I can't remember where I experienced this, but somebody had said when you're actually looking at something and mm-hmm. you identify it as a color, it's actually the only color or the sequence of colors that the object cannot absorb.
Right.
And it's being reflected back at us. So when you think of it that way, it's kind of like, so if it's reflecting that frequency back at us.
Mm-hmm. Is it really emitting visually, that frequency?
Right. Exactly. Exactly. You know, it makes you wonder because when you use a quartz, right, you can refract light. Mm-hmm. And you can also get those rainbow colors in it when you have the light coming like a prism.
Yeah.
And, you know, in a lot of them. So it's really, it's just a, I think it's just an interesting concept.
So you could go down a couple rabbit holes with that. It's still our perspective.
Right.
So it's our body is going to heal and react because of the vibration that it's picking up, which is the one that's coming to you. Does that make mm-hmm. sense?
Yeah. Well, and you know what? Let's take it down another rabbit hole.
Let's take it down.
I have a good friend who's colorblind.
Mm.
So.
How would she do that? Yeah.
How would you, well, actually he, how would he decide on what crystal? I guess he would just wouldn't be able to use the idea of the color in that situation and just kind of try to feel the vibration.
I was going to say he'd have to feel the vibration of it, what felt good and aligned with him.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of crystal work too is intention, programming.
Oh yeah. You're jumping ahead. We're going to get there.
Okay.
We're going to get there.
Just a tease.
I just realized. Yeah.
The belief in how the color of a crystal influences its energy and healing properties largely depends on individual experiences and cultural background, making it a personalized and unique aspect of holistic and alternative therapies.
Yes. Yeah. So you don't have to do or believe in any of the things that we've said.
Yeah.
Really, honestly, it's your belief and your intention behind the crystal that you're using. It doesn't have to be the same color as the chakra. Please don't hate me for saying that, people who believe it should be. Mm-hmm. I don't think it does. I think it's the intention behind the crystal that you're using.
Yeah.
So, okay, so now we're going to discuss the healing properties of crystals. So crystals are thought to act as conduits for the flow of good energy and help in releasing negative energy from the human body and mind. They're also believed to be structured in such a way that they respond to the energies flowing around them, harmoniously absorbing, focusing, and transmitting these energies due to their geometric symmetry.
So another property is vibrational frequencies. According to practitioners, every crystal has its unique vibrational frequency. This frequency is believed to be a result of the crystal's composition, its size, thickness, and its color. These vibrations are said to resonate with the body's vibrations, potentially balancing and healing our energy systems. For example, rose quartz is often used to help the heart chakra, and it has to do with love and healing, and because it's believed to emit a gentle and nurturing energy, that's why people also associate it with that heart chakra.
So like piezoelectricity we mentioned before, some crystals like quartz can produce an electric charge when under mechanical stress. This piezoelectric effect is used in modern technology like watches and radios to maintain precise frequencies. In healing practices, this physical property is interpreted as evidence that crystal can effectively transmit energy.
Yes. Yep.
Pretty cool.
That is pretty cool. That's why it's used so much in technology. So that's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
So, and just like we said earlier, crystals are often associated with specific chakras, and each chakra is linked to physical, emotional, and spiritual aspects of our being. And crystals are used to interact with the energy flow at these points. The alignment and clearing of chakras are thought to help in promoting physical, spiritual, and emotional well-being.
So intention and mindfulness is a very large part of working with crystals. The practice of using crystals often involves setting intentions or focusing on specific thoughts during meditation. The belief here is that when energetic intention meets the resonating frequency of a crystal, it helps manifest those intentions, thereby promoting greater emotional, spiritual, and physical balance.
Yes, and that's what we were saying earlier, is like the intention behind the purpose of the crystal is more powerful than the color of it or the labeled aspects of it,
yeah.
I believe.
But if you know, so this crystal is said to help heal X, Y, and Z. And let's say you have those ailments of X, Y, and Z. Mm-hmm. That helps you with your intention and your manifestation, because it might help you feel more connected to it, knowing that that is part of the properties of that crystal.
Oh, yeah. And it's totally like, if you have no idea where to look or what crystal to get, looking up those properties like in a book or from the store or whatever is definitely going to help guide you in a direction better than not, you know, just grabbing some random crystal.
Right. Because again,
at the same time, if
intention.
Right. But at the same time, if you can only have like five crystals and you can't get the crystal that's specifically for, let's say, kidney health.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you want to work with like maybe the more common crystals, mm-hmm. like amethyst or quartz, the less expensive crystals, you can set the intention with a crystal you already own. You don't have to have every single crystal that's out there, although we all want to have
we
all
do.
The crystals that
are yes, we do. We certainly do.
We love all the crystals.
Yeah. In my readings, I always get a crystal from a guide. And so the guide tells me the crystal, and then I'll go kind of look it up in the crystal book for almost like using it as like almost an oracle card. What stands out to me with this crystal, right? And then it usually lines up with some things that they have. And I always tell them, you don't have to get this crystal to help with those things. They're just saying that this crystal can help with those things if you want that.
I remember when that used to happen for me too. And sometimes it still does, when I do the grounding and I visualize the crystal in the center of the earth and I anchor myself to it. It's always the crystal that associates with the client that I'm working with. And I'm like, okay, if I see rose quartz, I know we're going to be dealing with a lot of emotional, you know, situation. If I'm seeing black obsidian, I know it's going to be somebody who requires a lot of grounding. If I see, you know, selenite or clear quartz, I know this is somebody who's got to release a lot of negative stuff and clear out like their energies in a lot of ways. It's not that they need to go buy that crystal. It's more a symbol. So yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. So there's a lot of ways that you can work with crystals regularly to benefit from their healing properties. I like to wear crystal jewelries like bracelets, necklace, and rings.
Mm-hmm. Now, rings, have you guys... Yeah. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Have you guys heard this, where wearing the crystal on your dominant hand versus your non-dominant hand? So like if you're right-handed, when you wear a bracelet or a ring on your right hand, it's supposed to be the energy you're projecting. And if you wear it on your left, your non-dominant hand, it's the energy you're receiving.
So I always just thought it was left hand receiving, right hand goes out. I mean, that matches with how I am anyway. But
well, most people are right-handed, so that's probably how a lot of people teach. And that's also the point of having a wedding ring on your left hand. Well, the vein that runs from your ring finger goes to your heart. But also your left hand, you're receptive.
Right.
So you're receiving love. And having that wedding ring on your left hand is you're receptive to it.
Your reminder too.
Mm-hmm. So if you wear your black obsidian bracelet on your left, you're protecting your energy. If you wear it on your right, it's like you're protecting everybody from your energy.
Well, hey, if you're having a cranky day, people might want that.
So, I mean, but in opposite, depending on what hand is dominant. And the reason is because if you're left-handed, you're always going to be reaching stuff for, you know, with your left hand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, when you go to shake someone's hand or you go to pick something up or open a door, mm-hmm. you're always reaching with your dominant hand.
Yeah.
Right? So that part of you that's kind of, but when you are taking something from someone, you're pulling it into you, into yourself, right? Mm-hmm. So when you're receiving something, a lot of the time it's going to be with your non-dominant hand. That's how I think of it.
That's interesting. Anyway. Makes sense. I also thought it had to do too, when I just heard the regular left is receiving, right is out. It's like your masculine and feminine sides too.
So what does that mean?
I don't know. I thought maybe there was a tie to that.
Is the masculine side the right side?
Your right side is your masculine energy. The left side is the feminine.
Is it because men are more outgoing and women are like pull you in?
Like maybe. Men are more aggressive in nature too.
Well, it's not like we're trying to punch people when we have jewelry on our right side. That's not.
I don't know.
I'm not breaking my crystals if I'm getting in a fight. I'm going to tell you that right now.
I don't know, but it's an interesting thought.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's something we should look further into for sure. Okay. So another way that you can use the healing properties of crystals in your life is by creating crystal grids. Mm-hmm. Anybody here have a crystal grid? I do. Do you guys have crystal grids?
No, I just kind of place them around like my own made up grid.
So I need to put those in my Amazon cart to send to you guys apparently.
Yeah.
You can print them out. You can print out like different shapes like Flower Life, Metatron's Cube, all those different, there's lots of different shapes and there's great books about crystal grids. Like I have the Crystal Grids Handbook. I have that one. I actually took the crystal healing course and there's a lot of, you get printouts of crystal grids. But you use small little crystals and you put them in certain placement and usually the main energy you want that crystal grid to focus on, you put in the center. Mm-hmm. And you could put a lot. I mean, there's some crystal grids that are very intricate, but a lot of the time you do quartz crystals around the outside, like points, quartz points, just one end. You can do double-ended, I guess. But when you do these crystal grids, if you want the energy of the crystal to be going outward, like you want to project a certain energy, then you point the quartz crystals out. If you want to receive the energy connected to that main crystal in the center, you have the quartz points pointed in towards the crystal. So a crystal grid I keep in my office is for psychic ability. So, and like I amp it up with a lot of clear quartz. So my center crystal is just a clear quartz. So it's like clear quartz like crazy. But to me, that's like making sure that the energy is safe, that I'm amplifying my abilities, all those types of things. But then you can do crystal grids to invite abundance. You can do crystal grids to invite love. You can do all kinds of things to project confidence. You can do crystal grids to project. I can't think of another one right now, but I keep seeing citrine. So that's why I said confidence. I'm wondering if I need to go get me some citrine. Anyway, okay, back on track. So there's, you can easily find printable crystal grids. You can draw your own crystal grid. They, you can actually buy, I have a wooden carved one that I got on Etsy. So you can find them on Etsy. You can find them on Amazon. But yeah, it doesn't have to be fancy. It's the intention behind it.
See, I've never done a pre-made grid, but I'll do like, my kids are sick or sometimes if I'm meditating or laying, I will put them around each of us and then, you know, holding, like I'll hold one in my chest.
Oh, is that considered a crystal grid?
I don't know. It's around me. It's funneling energy to me. I set the intention to receive it.
You are the crystal grid.
Yes, me.
Well, I just think of that as you as tapping into the. Yeah. I ask because I'm like, oh, I do that.
I don't
with
know
my dog with my kids, and I don't think of it as a grid, but
because I don't have an actual shape in front of me, but I'm still.
When you don't, know. You don't really need it. I think it's just like it's in a small area that you keep in a space. Like some people keep ones by their front door to block any negative energy and clear energy as you come and go.
Yeah.
So there's lots of different ways.
That makes sense. So another way you can use your crystals are to sit and meditate with them. So I kind of just said a little bit about either holding a crystal and putting them around you as you meditate. Mm-hmm. So you can do that, and you can hold it that way. You can, like we said, put a grid by you. As long as you're holding the crystal or setting an intention with that crystal in your meditation to heal you or help you whatever way you want it or need it to. That's what I do, is I'll hold it and I'll set an intention for that crystal to amplify some healing thing that I need or something I'm trying to overcome is another one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, I like to meditate with palm stones. They're my favorite. I always get palm stones. I like to have something in my hand. It used to be rosaries, sometimes mala beads, sometimes, you know, just having something in my hand will distract me from the physical environment I'm in a lot of the time. And I'll focus on a certain crystal, like what Kristen was saying. If I want to work on amplifying my psychic abilities, I'd hold amethyst. Oh, yeah. Or, you know, if I'm trying to connect with higher powers or the divine, you're going to work with something that's more angelic looking.
Celestite is a good one. Yeah.
But a lot of the time I work with a lot of grounding stones.
Yeah.
You know, because that's like something, if you've listened to the podcast, I talk a lot about that. I struggle with grounding. So I always have plenty of grounding stones on hand. So yeah, that's one of my favorite things to do with crystals. Meditate.
Yeah, it does feel good, especially I don't have a palm stone like yours. I might have to get palm stones. I like the way they look because you showed us them earlier. I do have the worry ones, the flat ones. Those feel very good to rub for me. Like if I'm just sitting and meditating, if I'm not even like really concentrating on the crystal, but just to sit, like you said, and rub it.
Yeah.
But I like to place crystals in my house, around my house, actually, even in my work. I would place tourmaline above my head, tourmaline above my front door, Sunday night on every window. And then I think was onyx on the doorknobs.
Oh,
and you used to have rose quartz next to your bed, right?
Yeah, I wore rose quartz.
Same.
Next to my bed. Yeah. And amethyst all over.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have crystals all over my office, but I keep a shungite pyramid right underneath my laptop.
Oh, yeah.
Because
it's
supposed to help with
EMFs. I have one on my computer.
Oh, yeah. I do that. The Wi-Fi. I put it on my Wi-Fi, the main Wi-Fi.
That's smart.
Yeah.
Shungite.
Shungite.
Shungite. So another way that you can work with crystal healing is that you can practice the act of crystal healing, or you can receive crystal healing. And you can do this through a Reiki session with someone who includes crystals in their practice, or you can do crystal healing for yourself by placing certain crystals on certain parts of your body that need that intention or that energy. Call on the energy of that crystal and ask it to intertwine with your energy with the intention that you have for that crystal.
Another thing you can do with crystals is, I'm very mixed on this one, infuse it in water. Now, I do not do this just because I don't feel like it's, I mean, not all crystals are safe to do that with, for sure.
That is true. Disclaimer.
Some of them are actually very toxic.
Like fluorite, you're not supposed to. Yeah.
Yeah.
And some of them will dissolve.
Some of them dissolve in water. You'll lose your crystal. But, you know, some people will drink it. I would not do that. I don't feel comfortable doing that. Holding them is fine. You know, getting their vibration. It's the mineral leakage into your water.
This one. What is this?
That's
one?
That's malachite.
Yes, this is a no-no.
Yeah, it's a no-no. Yeah.
Fluorite, malachite. Yeah, those are not ones you want to.
They say anything with the last kite, the kite.
Yeah. So there are some that people do and say is safe. I just don't do that.
Yeah, because there's those like water bottles that have the amethyst tower in the center of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Those you can.
I don't know.
You probably can, but
I mean,
amethyst, quartz, you can, I think.
Yeah.
Me and Kristen were talking earlier. We agreed that the only crystals we want in our waters and beverages are salt crystals and sugar crystals.
I know 100% sure that those are always safe to drink. Not as mass quantities.
I feel like everything in the United States at a grocery store is poison or GMO or something.
Yeah, that's a whole nother thing. But
yeah,
you know, if you are comfortable putting the safe crystals in your water, do your research.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Please do your research, because some of them are definitely toxic. And some of them are like you don't even want to handle too much. Yeah. And those are pretty easy to find if you do some research. I would suggest getting a big crystal book, some kind of crystal. Like, well, I have the encyclopedia, Nicole and G.
I have all three crystal Bibles.
The Bible, Crystal Bible, or Crystal Encyclopedia. It tells you very clearly which ones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Judy Hall writes all of those books.
She does.
The three crystal Bibles and the encyclopedia or crystal encyclopedia. There are plenty of others, but that's my favorite author because the way she lays things out is just makes it very easy.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. I love them. They're very detailed too. So that's why I like to use them in my readings. After Spirit gives me the crystal, then I go look and see, because there's so many details that there's no way I can remember all of it. She's very detailed.
Another crystal healing would be crystal bath. I haven't done this, but you can add crystals to your bath water and surround yourself with large amounts of crystals.
The only kind of crystals I put in my bath water is Epsom salt.
Same.
Epsom salt, yeah.
We put crystals around your bath, right?
Yeah, I was going to say, I would put crystals around the bathtub. Mm-hmm. But you remember, G, you sent me, or you sent us, I don't know if it was an Instagram reel or a text, where the people were in the crystal cave?
Okay.
Or was it a salt cave?
Oh, yeah.
That would be cool.
I really want to do that.
Yeah. Well, we've all been in a cave together, right? Not like that, but like a walking cave.
What is it called again?
So caverns, when you came Luray to visit caverns. Me, we went to Luray Caverns. And they're big cavern. They're deep caves. It's huge, but it's all made of limestone. And
I was, you know what?
It felt weird.
It was really cold. But by the time we went to the bottom, I was taking off my jacket.
You were stripping. You were taking off all your layers.
I couldn't walk.
Yes, I felt the same.
And legs felt so heavy. I kept tripping and it wasn't like I was dizzy or off balance. Mm-hmm. There were handrails everywhere and I was still falling. Yeah. I think it was just so much grounding and I'm so ungrounded that I was just like, I don't know what this is like. I need to see the sky.
Same thing. My legs were so heavy. And by the time we were done, got close to the end, I was so done. I was like, I don't want to, I just felt like I don't want to walk in here anymore because my legs felt so heavy.
It was so pretty. It was so beautiful. Yeah. But all three of us were having some serious physical reactions. Yeah, I remember G, you were like, oh my God, it's so hot.
It's so hot.
I was like, what? It's so cold.
It felt cold. And my legs felt like they weighed a ton.
It was damp. It was super damp and it was chilly down there. But yeah, I was like, my feet are not working. It was almost like they were stuck to the ground. I couldn't lift them up. Like giant magnets were on the bottom of my shoes or something.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I was okay. It's just hot.
So it's interesting though, because when I was a kid, I hadn't gone since I was young. I didn't remember that, but I don't know if it's because, the more you develop your spiritual abilities, the more sensitive you are to energy too. The more your body is used to picking it up or feeling it or sensing it. But it was very strong this time.
Because I had gone to those caverns when I was young because my aunt and my cousins lived up by where you live. So I remember going there when we were young, but it had looked totally different. I think there was a different entrance.
Yep, the entrance was totally different. But I don't remember feeling that then. I don't know if you did.
Well, we were probably so distracted by so many other things.
Yeah.
So one more way that you can invite crystals into your life is use crystals when you're practicing yoga, when you're exercising. You know, you can have them around your yoga mat or you can have it near you. I often have a salt lamp, which is a form of a crystal, I guess, and usually amethyst and selenite around me when I'm exercising or doing yoga, practicing yoga at home. Just because for some reason, I feel like it keeps me focused. But Yeah. So there's lots of different ways. And you don't have to use those crystals. You can use other things, other types of crystals. Yeah,
whatever you're drawn to. Okay. So when you have crystals, it is very, very important to take care of them.
Yes.
So the first thing that's really important to do, especially when getting a crystal, a new one from the store, because if you have people like me that like to touch all of them, is you have to clear the energy of it. So there's a few ways you can do that. You can completely like cover it with smoke from sage, or some people burn lavender. Like there's, you know, whatever saging herbs, Palo Santo, whatever you want to burn. You can do that. You can put it in water.
If it's a safe one
crystal. For water, so you have to look that up.
And it's better if it's moving water, like a river or a creek, but hold on to your crystal.
Yes. Or I guess you could run it under the tap.
Yeah, you can. You actually can. Yeah.
Submerge it in salt. I guess you can just bury it in salt. You can place it with cleansing crystals, like selenite, clear quartz. Or what was the other one that started with a K in the beginning? Kyanite. And probably would help. You could probably use that too. You can move it through candlelight. Meditate with the intention of cleansing the crystal. I like to do that. I surround it with white light and imagine it clearing away all energy that doesn't belong to the crystal. You can also do a sound bath, and that can help knock loose any negative energies from your crystals.
I like that.
Keep in mind that each crystal's fragility must be taken into consideration when choosing cleansing and charging methods.
Yeah. And, you know, you want to clear the energy from your crystal when you first get it, because it's not just about the people who've touched it. It's about when it was mined, when it was first disconnected from the earth, when it was handled and shipped and packaged and all the things, you know, all the different places it's gone to get to you.
Yeah.
You also want to clear your crystals after you work with them. Yeah. And regularly, whether or not you're working with them. Yeah. So, yeah.
So after clearing energy as needed, you can also charge it. Well, the next thing you need to do is charge it.
Right.
Place in sunlight or to charge with the masculine energy. Sunlight can cause discoloration in some crystals. So be mindful of the crystals you place in the sun. Please be cautious with crystals that can focus sun rays, as they can start fires at any point during the day as the sun moves through the sky.
Don't set your deck on fire.
Yeah. Yeah, and don't leave them in the windowsill and go to work.
Yeah.
You know, unless you know for sure that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
You need just 30 minutes in the sunlight is really all you need.
It's so powerful.
Mm-hmm. You can also place under the moonlight for feminine energy and gentle charge. It is believed that you can do this 2 to 3 days leading up to the full moon or 2 to 3 days following from it. So place a selenite bar, plate, or bowl. They can make it charge also. Mm-hmm. Meditate with your crystal, setting an intention of charging it. Visualize your universal or divine energy charging your crystal. You can also bury in the ground and charge with the earth energy where it originates. Just make sure that you remember where you bury.
It's true.
Yeah.
Don't be like the squirrel who forgets where they
the spot.
Yeah. Bury their nuts.
Crystals can also be charged with Reiki. That's a good idea.
Yeah.
You never done that?
They did not.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to start doing that now.
That's one of my favorite ways. Yeah.
That's a good one.
These are really good ways. So you want to charge your crystal. It's almost like a battery. Like we said earlier, they can hold energy. But if they go through a lot of work, they can also lose a lot of energy, just like us. So we want to make sure we take good care of our crystals. So after you clear your crystal and you charge it, you want to program it. So you can program a crystal by holding the crystal in your hand and focusing on your specific intention for that crystal. You can program the same crystal in lots of different ways over time.
Yeah.
Like, no joke. It's whatever you're setting the intention for that crystal at that time in your spiritual journey. Next, you want to visualize the energy of your intention flowing into the crystal and say a positive affirmation out loud connected to that intention. You're going to want to repeat this process until you feel like the crystal is fully programmed. And it's really, you have to believe that, okay, mm-hmm. I feel like this crystal is holding on to the intention, the energy of its purpose that I'm giving it.
Right.
Yeah.
There are additional benefits of crystal healing. And one of them is spiritual protection. And yes. you can use black obsidian for spiritual protection, mm-hmm. black tourmaline, which is the one that I use a lot, amethyst I also use, and labradorite I also use yep. that. That's the last three.
I have all four of those.
Same here.
Yeah. Labradorite is also a good one, I think, to also help you connect with higher energies too.
Your third eye
and yeah. crown also.
Yeah.
Amethyst also is very good with that too. Mm-hmm. I always sleep with black tourmaline next to me.
Space clearing would be selenite, clear quartz, and black tourmaline.
Yeah, you guys are going to start seeing a pattern mm-hmm. here. Black tourmaline is like one of the best.
Yes.
Yeah.
Crystals. It's good. It is very good.
Like, that is one of my newest palm stones.
Yeah.
The black tourmaline. I'm like, oh. Like, I held it and I was like, oh, I feel like somebody just wrapped me in a warm blanket. Mm-hmm.
You know what black one feels really good? Jet.
Yes.
Why does it feel so good?
It's a really... It's so weird because it's so light.
Because it used to be wood.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
It's hard to find big pieces of jet. Usually they're small tumble pieces. Mm-hmm. It's hard to find anything.
But I don't like the ones that they made them shiny. I like the dull ones. You know what I'm talking about? The ones that are more matte.
I've never seen. Oh, I know what you're saying. Yeah. Yeah. I know what you're saying. I don't know if I've seen glossy ones. I think mine is matte.
Yeah. I went to the crystal shop near me. I was like, do you have jet? And she said, yeah. And it was a shiny one. I was like, I want the dull jet. So if anybody hasn't felt that, go feel that at your crystal shop and tell us if it feels really good.
And let us know if you find a big piece of jet.
Yeah. Let us know.
So another great way to use your crystals is for EMF protection, which we mentioned earlier. And shungite, like I said, I have a little pyramid under my laptop. I think G, you said you have one by your Wi-Fi router, and Kristen, you have one by your computer too, or by your computer. But guess what? Black tourmaline is also good for EMF protection, as well as smoky quartz. Yeah, smoky quartz is a great one.
So you can also use it for environmental harmony. You can use onyx, green aventurine, and cerussite, which that is a new one to me.
It is a new one to me too. When I did the research for
this. What color is it? I want to know.
If I remember, it's like a brown black. Oh, I turned right to it.
Oh, yeah. Brown.
White, gray, black, and has yellow.
Different color.
It's like more like a brown yellow.
Ooh, it's on a matrix. Ooh, this is one of the ones we were talking about. Note, cerussite is a toxic stone. Use with care. Wash hands after use. This is why it's important to have these books. It's what it's in it. What's in it? Oh, lead.
Oh, yeah.
Lead carbonate. Yeah.
That's what makes that brown and kind of...
Okay. It says contains lead, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's a... By the way, this is a good stone for homesickness, but also exploring past lives.
Yeah. Maybe it's one of those ones you just put close to you.
Or just in the same room.
In the same room.
Maybe you keep it... keep it on the shelf.
Yeah. Ooh, it facilitates exploring extraterrestrial past lives.
Ooh. Maybe I should get that.
We got to explore that one a little bit further.
Thank you, Judy Hall.
Yeah, right?
Our next healing crystals will be dream enhancement. You can use amethyst, moonstone, and rhodochrosite.
Ooh, that's a good one. Yeah, I got to get one of those.
They're pretty.
I was going to say me too, but I think I have one.
You already have it?
Yeah. It's very pretty.
You just got to work with it. Yeah. Well, see, sometimes when you get so many crystals, you forget what you have.
I do too. I definitely do that.
I need to create a catalog.
And you know what? I think I program everything just to protection. Period. Just protection.
Yeah, I feel you. I feel you. You're creating a cave with all your crystals. Oh, that's awesome. Okay.
A bat cave.
Another way that you can use crystals to your benefit is working with them when manifesting and setting goals. And great crystals you use for that are apatite, citrine, and pyrite.
Mm.
And apatite's one of the palm stones I just got last week.
Yeah, that's a pretty color stone. I like that.
It is really pretty. And it's got like really cool like rainbow flash in it a little bit, like tiny ones. It's really
neat. Yeah, it is pretty. Pyrite makes sense because it's the gold look and brings abundance.
Mm-hmm.
So today we discuss the ins and outs of crystals, where they come mm-hmm. from, different types, how to use them, how to clear them. We also talked about their geometric structure and how that can affect how they work. We talked mm-hmm. about how they're made. Some are natural, some are man-made. We talked about how their color can influence their healing abilities or properties. We talked about right. how they have different vibrations and frequencies mm-hmm. and how we can use those to help us heal or grow spiritually, mentally, and physically.
Are you eating the crystals and they're helping? You're getting the minerals?
No, we're not growing.
You
from
said you
them.
Don't want to drink
we
them.
Don't want to drink them. No.
You're definitely not chewing
they
on a crystal.
They can help you grow spiritually and heal physically.
Yes.
Mentally and spiritually. That didn't come out right.
It's perfect.
So if you have any crystals, please come and join the Facebook group page on Soul in the Voyage and share us your crystals, put up some pictures. We want to know mm-hmm. because we want to know what you have, and yeah. we'll probably share what we have also.
Oh yeah, we'll yeah, share some pictures. Let's share some yeah. pictures of the ones that we talked about today if we have them.
Yeah, that's a good idea. So if you can join our Facebook group page and be a part of the conversation, guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if you missed our last episode, you need to just, you know, right after this one, go back and listen because it's all about Reiki healing and it's a really good one. We talk about how we each learned from different people in different ways, how we use our knowledge of Reiki now, mm-hmm. and all the good things. So have a listen.
Yeah. In our next episode, we are going to be talking all about astrology.
Yes.
That's going to be exciting.
Gonna be a good one.
Thank you for joining us today at the Spiritual Rabbit Hole. Remember, your time with us doesn't have to end here.
Subscribe to our soulonavoyage.com website for more spiritual resources and services. And remember our Soul on a Voyage Facebook group.
Stay updated on all we have to offer by following us on Instagram at Soul on a Voyage. Thanks for being part of our spiritual community. Peace out.
Love ya.
Bye for now.